You're listening to Why Did You Call Me? The show where I drink about 7, maybe 12 beers. And I call people. Let's try this one. Guest number 1.
Hello?
Hello? Who's there?
What?
Why do you keep calling here?
What?
You think it's fun to waste my time?
Who's this?
Cool. Fuck you. Man, that guy's a real asshole. Alright. Let's try number 2. Hello? Hello?
Hello, Pizza Hut.
Why do you keep calling here? I hate Pizza Hut. I am a Domino's man.
I'm sorry, do you want a pizza?
Go fuck yourself!
When we're in a room together already, it gets weird with the
I faked the moon landing so you wouldn't get murdered.
That right there would be Illuminati.
Strange noises.
And that would be cocaine.
I could be an alien.
You ready, motherfuckers?
Yes. Yeah.
A regular car.
Wait, how big is the goat?
I'm sure it's. I don't know. I haven't
what
seen
kind
it.
Of goat?
Just a goat.
Oh, is it like a little cute little goat? Have you seen pictures?
I haven't. She's like offered to show me pictures, and I'm just like, no, I'm good.
That's fair.
I'm busy working.
I got to hang out with the goat over Christmas. I forgot to tell you that.
What?
When we went to do family pictures.
Really?
It was off the little farm area where they.
And are
I got
pictures?
To go pee. Pee?
Pee?
I got to go pee by a goat. I got to go pet a goat. He was very nice. He pooped while I was petting him.
Where was this at? You said a farm?
It's inside.
Oh,
it's
okay.
Like a fancy event center inside a Gardner Village.
All right.
You were cool. You came to my wedding, remember?
Yeah, so I remember where that was, but it was like in a little village.
It was in like the Gardner Village.
Wow.
Ba-boom.
All right.
Yep. It was there. So that's where we did our family pictures, and there was also a goat. Let's take a goat for a road trip. That's probably a terrible idea.
I don't think
but
he'd be
can we weekends?
Huh?
Weekends.
Can we take a weekend
no.
trip?
I don't think she would let you take a goat for a
we
weekend.
Should take a goat to Vegas with us. Next Vegas
what?
Trip.
That'd
party
be
with the
awesome.
Goat. I bet we'd get tips while we were walking around the strip. Hey, come
could
check out my goat.
Could you get the goat into the, like, if you wanted to go into, like, a
probably
club
not into
or
a casino, no.
Probably
I mean, maybe we could sneak it in there and pretend it's a dog?
Yeah, or a service animal?
Yeah, that's my service goat.
This is my therapy goat. Sorry.
You can just put a vest on it.
I feel like that's how a therapy goat wouldn't just make normal noises. It'd be like,
more soothing, less annoying.
How does that make you feel?
It's not going to scream. It's
good. Yeah.
Comforting goat.
Yeah. We can dream, right?
Could you imagine someone coming in and saying you have a service goat, though?
That'd be amazing. That'd be amazing. I've had somebody say they had a service bird. They brought their parrot into a Ross Dress for Less.
What?
Yeah.
A bird?
Yeah. Sat on his shoulder like he was a pirate.
What?
I enjoy going in
feeling
public.
Like a pirate makes me feel less stressed out.
I'd rather not be around people if I'm going in public to stores. Like, if I'm going in to get something, I don't want to be responsible for something else. I
yeah.
to get my shit and get out.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be an inconvenience
no.
of carrying on, like, an alligator yeah. or a bird? Or like,
an exotic animal.
Like, holding something on a leash.
Sorry,
yeah.
This is just my pet python. Right. It's my service animal. It's fine.
Yeah.
No.
For a while, I was taking Levi to the grocery store when he was first a puppy, just to get him so used to people. And it was great. But then after a while, yeah.
You got sick of it, huh?
It just felt like,
it's like
I don't need to be walking him in this
that's
grocery
That's like another
store.
Kid. Like, I'm already responsible for my kid when I go shopping.
Right.
Like, I don't... Mm-hmm. Something that might shit and not in a diaper? Like, no.
Yeah,
I can't do that.
I'm way more focused on trying to keep my kids from killing each other most
like
of the time.
Or, like, people coming
so.
Up to your animal. Like, if you take a dog into a store, everyone... Oh my gosh, it's a puppy, or oh look, let's put it. I'm like, go away. Like, I didn't come to the store to hang out with strangers. I need to get some stuff.
Sure,
like,
I brought a gorgeous dog, but
I've,
go fuck yourself.
Like, look,
I've got
I'm
long
on a mission.
Legs, so I move pretty fast. So when I have something with me, it slows me down.
Oh, yeah.
Girl, people slow me down.
I need to go fast.
Yeah.
In, out, done.
Exactly.
2 minutes.
Like, I don't know about you guys. We all have kids here.
Mm-hmm.
And you've only got
one
baby, one mm-hmm. child. And so it's probably a little different for you, but Reed, just let me know if you feel me.
Okay.
Do you constantly have to, like, keep your kids from hurting each other?
Yeah, especially with having a boy who wants
okay.
to kill everything.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, she attacks her sister. I'm pretty sure I said, Riley, be nice to your sister probably 10 times
ugh.
In the last 2 hours.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's... I feel you, man. That's how it is with my oldest and my middle right now. They are just fighting. And I've started to just get over it. Like, okay, you guys are just being dramatic. The other day,
Figure it out yourself.
This is literally what I said. And after I said it, I couldn't tell if I was actually trying to be funny. But the girls were playing patty cake in the back of the car and accidentally slipped and both hit each other in the face. And so they were like yelling and being upset. And I said, hey, patty cake is a high-risk game. If you don't want to get hit in the face, don't play patty cake.
Yeah. Children's version of MMA.
And then I was like, wait, I don't think that's how that goes.
Sure, it works, should be a dude. Safe game.
It's a high-risk situation, okay? Figure it out.
I feel you.
Well, thanks for listening to Scapegoats, guys. Appreciate it. With me tonight, as always, Regis. Our guest tonight is Lucina.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I don't need to say your last name.
Okay, that'd be great if you didn't.
And she's a longtime fan of the show. Also my sister-in-law. So, thanks for listening.
That's favoritism.
I was excited from day one. Like, when I heard, I was just like, I was excited and proud. Like, and just like, what? You get it. Like, you're just, you want to do something and you're just going to do it? That's awesome. Like, not a lot of people do it.
Yeah.
Everybody just, like, says they're going to do stuff and then they don't, so.
Oh, like, that's also Regis and I. How many other ventures have we thought about starting? Never did. We've talked about breakfast places.
Nerf
gun
battlefields.
We are going to start a giant, like, Nerf war
factory. That would make bank. What?
Yeah.
Why are you even saying it out loud? I know. Keep this to yourself. Fucking, what? Right? No. Oh, yeah. No.
We've discussed gold. Several movies. Movie ideas.
Okay, that's like a far reach, though.
So. I mean, it's stretching. Yeah.
Why? You don't think I have movie knowledge?
I mean, I don't think you have, like, the budget to make them. I don't know. Oh. I don't know. Unless you want it to be, like... Yeah, I don't know.
You're like, unless you want it to be like, you ooh. Know, shitty, like a bad movie. Yeah. This is what I'm really
what's
trying to say.
What's that festival that you guys have here? The
well, there's a lot of festivals.
No, the movie one.
Sundance.
Yeah.
Sundance. Yeah, we can make an independent film.
Yeah, a low
to where
quality.
If it's really bad, people will actually, like, just go, huh, it's trying
art.
To be artistic.
The first thing that came to my mind was taking shits over mirrors and watching yourself poop out of your butthole.
Wow.
Like, that was a movie that I figured would be something that would be at Sundance.
I would...
Mm. No?
I would sweep in for tickets for that. You just have to have a really good name. What's the name, though?
I don't know.
Because I feel like the
reflection.
Name of the show...
The reflection. Oh, my gosh. Oh, yes. Yeah.
See, because yes. Then that's
don't
like, wow, that's really
deep.
It's deep.
Yeah.
It's really deep.
Yeah, that's got
yeah,
some.
It is. All the way up.
Depth behind it, for sure.
All right.
Fuck.
All right, moving
past. All right, guys. Well, so.
Butthole movies.
This is the first episode of our March Madness schedule.
Yay!
Yeah. Oh,
okay, sorry.
Pretty exciting. No, yeah. It's good.
Mm-hmm. If you I'm got. Excited. We sent an announcement out. If you're listening at this point,
you
should have already known that this was coming.
Yes.
But if you're. Wait. But if you're coming onto it.
We announced it on Facebook today. Facebook-o.
I think I saw something about it yesterday, my bad. Sometimes what? The days blur together. I thought I heard...
Are you...
No, I
are
told...
You Raven?
No, I told you that it was going to be March Madness.
Oh,
when you...
there we go. Okay. Yeah.
I already
just
told
like,
you.
Like, wait a second. So, you know.
But they don't.
Don't spoil it.
I'm sorry. Okay. My bad.
I think it's funny you're saying, don't spoil it, yet at the same time, we're just like literally so saying they will already know by the time this episode comes out.
It's good.
To serial killers or cults and... The madness. It's not sports March Madness. Bum, bum, bum.
That's your one.
That's my one and only. I haven't done that in like 10 episodes.
What?
Whoo. And even then, it was a slightly different pitch.
This is really? Great. I witnessed it. It's something to
yeah.
happen.
You're welcome, by the way.
Yeah. It's all the whole thing.
Before we get into the story, awesome shout out to Lucina for providing drinks tonight.
Mm-hmm.
We got some pomegranate Schoferhofer and some peach reds.
I like when you say chauffeur.
Schoferhofer is Hefeweizen. It's good beer.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Didn't know I had to stare at you that long for you to say it.
I didn't know. Yeah. My bad. Okay. I got a little lost.
Just kidding.
I already forgot what was going on. I'm just kidding.
All right. I'm not going to do too long of an intro story for this one. So it shouldn't torture you.
Okay.
Because
you
we got
said
a lot.
Something about serial killers?
Yes, well, serial killers and or cults or...
I threw both of those in the same
I don't
time.
Think, I didn't say torturing. I didn't say torturing.
My was like, I just... Okay.
Masturbating
I'm not
with
ready
blood.
For this. What?
I was just kidding. just really trying to freak her out now. I'm just saying fucked up shit. I don't know.
I really don't
know. You're like, whoa. Whoa. Guys, we talked about this 15 minutes ago. Really? Seriously? It was for a
loop. Okay, sorry. Okay.
Jumping from that point, let's talk a little bit about Kool-Aid.
Oh, okay. A soft.
So,
yay, I'm excited.
It's
you like Kool-Aid that much?
No, I think I thought, I don't know.
She might know. We'll see.
I feel like I'm connecting dots, is what I'm saying.
So it's a...
You're trying to jump in the future.
Yes.
I just thought you were like really excited.
I'm guessing.
Oh, Kool-Aid. Oh my God.
Kool-Aid. I fucking love Kool-Aid.
I know this one.
I'm surprised you did with how much excitement you had. You were just like, oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh, I
should have
done that. Oh, I'm so
sad. So it's not a soft.
Missed opportunity.
Hashtag high five.
So wouldn't the hashtag go... Never mind.
High five hashtag. Hi hashtag five?
Carry on.
Five high hashtag.
I just want to be like pound symbol.
Right?
Okay. Back in the day when they were...
Yeah, so that's one thing that I think is funny. Like, I've been using a lot of hashtags with like social media.
Uh-huh.
And seeing some of the hashtags that people use is really weird when you remember that hashtags used to be called pounds.
Yeah, right? Yeah, no.
Because it's like pound something something.
That's how I think of it every time. Yeah. I always like reflect, like anytime anyone says hashtag, I just automatically think of a phone.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah, so I was at work, I heard a older gentleman who say, I don't understand this pound me too movement.
Yes.
And it's like, oh, that's definitely something you shouldn't laugh about. But he honestly didn't understand. What is pound me too?
It's a very opposite of what the Me Too movement
yes,
is.
Very much.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh fuck, I didn't even think of that.
I hope no one corrects me. It's not okay if you purposely do that.
Yeah.
But I hope no one stops this man. No disrespect. I don't mean that to sound bad. But that sounds fucking hilarious.
Yes.
Yeah.
Separate it from the issue.
Pound Separate me the too. Issue. Hilarious.
That's fucking hilarious.
Yeah. I think it's awesome. I hope no one corrects him just so he can keep his innocence.
Hashtag me too.
That'd be dope.
Right.
Well, anyways, hashtag Kool-Aid. It's a brand of flavored drink mixed and owned by Kraft Foods. It's usually in a powder form and was created by Edwin Perkins in 1927. It was based upon a liquid concentrate called Fruit Smack. Whoosh. Oh, yeah. This giant pitcher just slaps you instead.
Doesn't he usually like bulldoze through?
Yeah, he usually like fucking
oh my gosh,
destroys
they should
homes.
Put him on like a Miley Cyrus, put him in like a wrecking ball. Let's do it.
I'm pretty sure it's been.
There has to have somebody.
I don't think so. I don't think I've ever seen that.
I came
one.
In
and
like
I have like
wrecking ball. Oh yeah.
I've seen a lot of those.
Yeah.
Haven't seen the Kool-Aid one, so
well, let's
it's not done. We have to do it.
Either look it up. If not, we'll post one.
All of them.
That's the quick history of Kool-Aid.
Oh, thanks.
I just letting you know.
Thanks for that.
What
lesson.
Year was
it's,
it?
It's the they their most common flavors are
grape,
fruit punch,
oh.
Grape, and
lime.
No
cherry.
The blue raspberry or blue cherry. Sorry,
there's many
blue cherry,
but there is lots of colors and random flavors.
That was our summer drink of choice.
Some I drink a choice.
Oh I
mean,
I used
like...
to put it in a cup and then put the cup in the freezer.
Yeah.
And just, that was.
See,
I would spend like my evening just scraping it with a fork
yep.
And just like.
And making
it?
Like a little icy.
Yeah.
And you'll do it for a long time.
But I was too impatient to make the whole icy. I never got, I would always just scrape it. And as soon as I got enough for just, yeah,
see,
I was not patient. I'm a fat kid at heart. Like,
I would
I can't wait. I can't just like be okay
now.
With that. Yeah.
See, we were in a Kool-Aid family. I never had like Kool-Aid yeah. much.
What?
We were a Tang family. Did you guys do Tang?
Oh, yeah, we did Tang for a minute, but I don't like that.
See, that
not
was...
enough sugar.
We did Tang in Mexico.
Whole...
Like, it just... When we lived in Mexico, we did Tang.
Yeah.
But when we lived in the United States, it was Kool-Aid, like, with my mom.
Yeah, that's fair.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it was always
Tang's
Tang until I was,
Mexico.
Like... I don't think I actually had Kool-Aid until I was probably, like, 12.
What?
Yeah. It was just...
At, like, a friend's house
that
or something?
That seems strange.
Or...
I mean, yeah, like a birthday party.
Oh.
I was like, what is this sugary water deliciousness?
This is awesome. What?
I feel
it's fucking Kool-Aid, man.
It's finally that reverse feeling. Like, I'm sure you feel that way every time you introduce a movie. I'm like,
you're
oh
like,
my
you've
God.
Never fucking had Kool-Aid?
Like, the first time you said, here, watch this. It's called Thor.
Yeah.
And I was like, dude, what the fuck? Why doesn't anyone tell me about this Kool-Aid?
Except the big difference between your situation and mine is that
I tried Kool-Aid when I was fucking 12. You still haven't seen these movies.
Busted. Oh, no.
But I understand your reference. Oh, man. I'm not going to let you off easy on these, Regis. Never.
But I'm glad you understand Lucina, the reference,
at least,
though,
has seen more movies than you.
I feel like that's easy to beat, but...
Well, I lived here for a minute, so it was easy. I had access.
It's so many movies. Anytime looking through the collection, you're there for 15, 30 minutes.
Yeah.
It's just part of the beauty that is.
It's a long movies. Way from Kool-Aid.
Long way from Kool-Aid.
Oh, yeah. I already... Yeah, okay. And we're back. And we're back.
James Warren Jones, the great... You'll be regretting that, my friend. Just kidding.
Oh, no. I was just...
I do
like,
often,
really? You know? Yeah. If you're like, most of what I say, I regret, to be honest. He was born on May 13th, 1931. His father was unemployed a lot of the times, but he was also an alcoholic. And when he did work, he was a late-night custodian worker. And his mom worked several jobs, so she was gone almost all day.
Got it.
But he didn't have, like, brothers or sisters.
Oh, okay. So.
God damn it. This is going to be fun.
It's going to be great. It's going to be fucking great. He didn't have the best childhood.
Didn't have Kool-Aid till he was 12.
Yeah, this poor son of a bitch didn't have any Kool-Aid. So I don't want to go too much into his childhood, but I will say that he wasn't around a lot of other kids, didn't have a lot of friends, wasn't well-liked, and most of his friends were animals that he trapped into his barn and then just took care of. And
what do you mean by take care of?
He took care of them. He loved them and fed them, and I mean, there's stories of him becoming very
really
close
sad.
With a large group of, like, wild dogs that were around in his town. But, like, he wasn't torturing them. He just had a shit ton of animals that
he
was
so lonely. Oh, no. This is heartbreaking. You said he doesn't have a lot of friends. Like, his parents are never home.
People spit on him all the time.
He hangs out with a group of wild dogs.
He's known as the dirty kid.
Gosh, is there a documentary on this guy? Like, this sounds so sad.
Oh, yeah, there is. Oh, for sure.
Wait, are you being serious or no?
100%.
Oh, shoot. Are you being serious? I don't know.
I know I have that face on me.
I don't understand.
Yes, I'm serious, which is very close to my pretending to be
understand.
Serious face. No,
we'll never know.
Yeah, I'm serious. Through his hardships, learned how to make friends and get to understand people. But he learned that he had to kind of change his personality depending on the group he was with or the people he was interacting with. And he eventually kind of learned that he could manipulate people and kind of change their view of him depending on how
He's
he
a
made
chameleon.
Himself look.
Yeah.
And that started helping him to get to know more people. He after that, and he started getting a little older, he actually had lots of friends. They were all just younger kids. I think around age 14, he started a small, like, Bible group where he was teaching classes out of the barn and doing stuff. And people in the neighborhood are like, wow, he's really turning around. Good for him. Loved reading. Huge reader. Especially reading about the works from people like Stalin, Marx, Gandhi. That's a good one. And Hitler. Loved reading. You're giving me the face already. Then.
I feel like I know what this is about.
Oh, good.
It's killing me.
Yeah. He sounds like an okay guy.
After understanding which type of books he liked reading, he started this popular Bible study group. That's when he knew he wanted to be a leader.
I can't handle it.
This is how Regis feels all the time. He's just not able to be as vocal about it as you are.
Oh,
because it's your first time. You're like,
oh my gosh, I cannot right now. Like, I'm just like, don't say anything. Don't spoil it.
You can, if you want to guess,
you
can.
You think you know what it is about.
I'm at least already in the story.
What do you think you know what's up?
Oh, well, I feel like this is about the guy who made all the people drink that Kool-Aid drink or whatever. And then it was like a mass suicide.
You were correct.
Oh my gosh, okay. I thought you were like cutting me off, like stop talking now. And I'm like,
yeah. No, yeah, I'm saying,
yeah, he
I'm
was
so
you're correct.
Excited.
You did good.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
What does this have to do with the conspiracy?
Let's keep going. We'll see.
I'm excited that
good
I'm
guess.
Right.
So he's the dude. This guy is the guy that did that.
I love looking into shit like that. Like the.
You like crazy people?
Yeah. Like, yeah.
What would be the first question you would ask to somebody like that you met? I'm curious.
What do you feel?
Ooh. How do you sleep at night?
Oh. Not even that, just like
no,
what do
I mean
you feel
like comfy. Like, do you have a really big bed? Do you sleep on your side? I'm not like what's going on in your head. I'm like,
on your stomach?
With like a teddy bear? Teddy bear. Do you use pillows? Do you see? I bet you.
Do you have a humidifier? Yeah. Just tell me now. Is that your secret fire?
No. Mine would be, how do you feel? Like, just those moments of where you're just going through your day. And you know, some people are just always happy, or some people are just like blasé with things. I feel like serial killers don't feel anything. Like, I feel like they feel empty. Like, just weird. I know.
No, that's nothing weird about it.
I was like, is it?
I'm weird. The same way.
Is it super creepy?
No, I love research. That was one of the reasons why I wanted to do this month.
I'm so excited. Okay. Like, sorry, I can't stop. I'm so sorry.
No, you're doing good.
I'm so excited.
So, Jim Jones, as he was started going by, but near the end of, I think it's his last year of high school, he started working at a hospital, got a job there, started learning more about what it means to work really hard. You know, he learned how to kind of interact and take care of elderly people. That was part of
his job.
He was like a an orderly, I think, or I can't remember the term. But the biggest thing that happened to him by working at this hospital was he met a lady who was a nurse named Marceline Baldwin.
All right.
Yeah. They were married shortly after meeting in 1949.
Like that day?
No, like a month. I know.
He
not
meant
that
shortly
after.
Meeting like in that year.
This isn't like.
I think it would have been better if they just met. Like, oh my God, hello.
You're like, what? Really?
I've always wanted to marry a nurse. I've always wanted to marry somebody who works at a hospital that I don't know their job title.
Like, golly, let's go. And then they're off. That's how
back
I,
in the day,
I don't
was
care
like,
how much.
Oh, you're nice. Okay, let's do this. Like, married.
Yeah,
that's what happened.
Exactly.
Yikes.
Shortly after they got married, Jim kind of showed who he really was, showed his real personality.
Like he was a crazy person?
Yeah, unfortunately, like a lot of marriages happen.
Like he told her all the books that he read and stuff?
No, what he did is he introduced her to his group of friends.
Oh.
Hey, this is Chicken. This is Mr. Cluck Cluck. This is the pack of dogs I trapped.
These are my dog friends.
Don't worry, they won't bite. Like,
right.
He kind of started showing some true colors. He started being a little more domineering. He had to control everything. One of the biggest things, for Marceline at least, was that he also let her know that he didn't believe in God, which she always kind of believed him to be a Christian. You know, along his path of learning more about religion, he started feeling that like religion was another trap. It was more about being a good people and helping people and less about this figure.
He felt like that was a way to manipulate people into doing good.
Maybe. Who knows?
That's basically
or maybe
what he
that's
said.
Just yeah. Let's. He at least definitely manipulated
maybe,
Marceline. That's
I mean,
for sure.
Maybe he felt it at the time, like he believed it. But
back when he was younger, yeah. I mean, he was religious.
Believed
but
it.
Then he just okay. Keep going. Sorry.
He also started learning that you know he thought that religion was just another way that capitalism controlled Americans and stuff like that. This more socialistic idea and was very anti-capitalism.
Okay.
If that makes sense to help shape. The person who he is, at least right now, as he's 18, 19.
Mm-hmm.
That's it? That's how old he was?
Yeah, they got married. He was 18 and she was 23.
This was back in the day.
She was getting a little nervous that she had married this
guy
she didn't really know. She slowly started to see things his way and understand him a little more. She was still a little nervous and there was rumors that it was an abusive relationship, and he yelled at her a lot.
Yeah, it
but
sounds like Stockholm syndrome.
Yeah,
starts you're right. to see his ways. I'm like, okay.
Good for her.
She stuck it out.
Try not to get yelled at every day. It's called being compliant.
Well, one of the things she noticed is that Jim Jones just had a way with people. He could make eye contact with one person out of a room that he was speaking at, and he could go straight up to them, have a conversation. Know everything about that person. He could connect with anyone on a personal level.
People, so he was just personable.
He was personable. He had some character flaws. He was actually a good person. He was a great man. It's not just her who thought he was a great man.
She thought he was a great man even after that?
You heard the man. She understood the ways.
That's, oh my gosh. That's called... Oh.
Well,
sorry.
Some of the things he did...
Sounds
so
really bad.
Starting around 1955... He becomes the reverend of a Methodist church. Some of the things that he's able to do while he's leading this church was they opened a soup kitchen. They had hundreds of community service activities. They raised money for the poor and elderly. But most importantly, which was kind of his crowning achievement was he fought for equality. The mid-50s. This
I'm
is the
sorry,
mid-50s.
Like what kind of equality are
so,
you speaking of?
So he's an Indian.
Yeah, true.
This is in Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
And during this time, it was still very segregated. He believed that everyone was equal. Most of this community service he would do was for equal rights, specifically for African Americans.
So was it also like gender equality too?
No, back in the day. This was gender equality was not a thing until
The thing is too, he still fought for a lot of gender equality as well. It's still different, but the bigger issue at the time was race.
Yeah, it was race, sure. And then gender equality, and then.
Yeah.
The most I know about Indiana is Parks and Rec. So all any reference and dates that I go back to that show.
Think of all the awful murals they have.
Yeah.
Would go around the community to try and help Black Americans get into nicer neighborhoods. He would even walk around and talk to all the white neighbors and say, hey, don't move away. Don't get scared. Join our movement. Like, fight for something that's right. Mm-hmm. He would take his whole... his group, I don't know. I mean, his
posse.
The people that all went to his church. I can't think of the term right now.
The party people.
Sure. He would bring all his party people. Church and folk. So he would come to a restaurant that was segregated, and he would talk them into being one of the only restaurants that would actually bring both. And if they agreed, he would then immediately have his group come with him. That were all of his church, and a larger number of them were African Americans. So out of nowhere, hey, if you open your doors to both races and stop being a racist, your business will grow.
Yeah, he's like, you're going to make more money.
And it's just also the right thing to do. So, okay, well, let's try it. I don't think it'll work. Well, let's see. And show him how full he can make a restaurant if you weren't hateful.
Oh, yeah.
See, so...
This guy has like 5 points right now.
Kind of had like some morals and values going on.
And so, so far, the only bad thing is he studied Stalin and Hitler.
Like, and that he's a bad husband.
Well, yeah.
He's a narcissistic asshole. Are you serious? Like,
there's a lot of stuff.
The whole husband part, like, I was like, yikes, that is scary.
There's a lot you could go into in his past that will show you some crazy fucked up stuff that I had to kind of skim over. But
so
for
his
sure,
best friend was a pig. What the fuck?
See, so this is what I'm saying. So it's easy for Marceline to look over some of these bad character traits when he's doing things like this on a daily basis. He's helping people. He's a valued member in the community. He was given a job to help the housing districts. He had a radio talk show where he, 15 minutes a day, he would go out and get to speak on the radio. Sure, he had to pay for those 15 minutes a day, but still, he talked on the radio. He had he was active in the community trying to change things. But his run as a reverend at the Methodist Church didn't last long.
Okay.
Maybe not for the reasons you think. It wasn't anything crazy. He actually stopped being a reverend because they wouldn't let him fully integrate his church to be desegregated. Yeah.
Okay, I was like really confused.
You're like, wait.
So now he doesn't want that?
So now
he changes his mind.
He sounds like a really bipolar female. Like, I don't even know. No, I don't understand.
Just my stupid tongue. Blah, 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 blah. Desegregated. And so he actually left.
Yeah.
And started his own church so that he could have whoever he wanted. He could... It wasn't exclusive. It was anybody.
Yeah.
And it ended up being around 70% African Americans once it finally started, which was in 1956 when he officially opened the People's Temple Church.
I've been in a long time.
And so this is when he was really starting able to do more outreach. It's also when he got more freedom to teach things his own way and not be specific to certain religions.
Like, say whatever the fuck you wanted?
I mean, yeah, to an extent.
Like, okay.
But so he started still visiting around other churches. That's something he did often. And started noticing other things. And he went to a Pentecostal church where they were doing healings. Pentecostal.
What?
And they sing louder. They're more vibrant. They get really active with their... with their spirits,
okay.
And they do
the
touch healing.
Movies usually reference. Oh no, I'm just kidding.
They're like,
yeah, boom, boom, you are healed.
Oh,
yeah.
Those are the
punch your head.
Those are hilarious.
And like made
on
people
YouTube.
Drop down to the
like,
ground.
What? Yeah, it makes me question.
He also kind of adopted some of that into People's Temple, and he started doing.
Kind of jealous a little bit.
Oh, you should be.
How fun to just knock people out.
Yeah, he started having just these. Touch healed sessions. Touch and healing.
I bet he did.
Sexual healing. But they've also, with research that they've done just on some of these boom, you're healed sessions anyways, is some people really do feel like they've healed because like a giant shock of adrenaline or just like a placebo effect.
Yeah.
Certain things. Or I mean, I don't want to discredit. Maybe there's real healers. Who knows? And so
you're saying
maybe that's he at least claims he was hard of hearing and he
because science.
Because of science and Jesus and stuff, right?
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. And his flock grew and it was getting pretty big. A lot of people were joining his church. And he at least, you know, he still stuck to equality. He still believed that was still the forefront of what they needed to do.
Oh my gosh, I'm that so confused though.
And he even
this is before his marriage or after his marriage?
No, this is after his marriage. And so he also, like, him and his wife were very, they were invested into their religion and they believed it. They even commonly talked about their rainbow family.
Did he make his own religion?
Yes.
Kind okay, of. That's what happened. Yeah. I was just like, but then he said he didn't believe it. Okay.
Yeah.
This but is, now he's back.
So they, on his this own is his curse. Own. This
yeah,
is his own.
Because after people's after he decided
he
didn't like
to just gather the good, like the stuff that he wanted, picks these.
But this church as well was claiming they were a Christian church with different Christian beliefs and had and was motivated towards socialism.
I didn't know religions had like
subsets, subcategories.
Yeah.
And different sections. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Happens
like,
all the time.
Politically, like I didn't know. You know.
Yeah, religions happen all the time like that. Even today.
What? Okay, keep going. Sorry. Mm-hmm. I was just...
I know.
Oh, shoot.
But so, going back to his rainbow family, they adopted 3 Korean girls.
That's there what was... you mean by rainbow?
So,
well,
they just had 3 like, Korean kids.
They were all
look at this
the
rainbow.
Colors of the rainbow.
No, there was the Korean War was happening at this time, so he motivated his followers and himself to... If you're trying to have a child, adopt from this war-torn country.
Oh, that's
save
awesome.
These kids.
Yeah.
They also adopted a Native American girl. They had one biological son named Stephen or Stefan. It's spelt Stefan, but most places I could find it, it was Stephen. So.
Or Stefan?
Stefan? Maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah. I don't know. Stefan? Who fucking cares? His middle name is Gandhi.
Who fucking cares?
And then they adopted another white boy, and they were also the first white couple in Indiana to adopt a black child.
Good
they
for them.
Got another boy that way. So that was their rainbow family.
And the story ends there.
Ta-da! Psych.
I wish. Oh.
Till next time.
Okay, bye.
yeah, not quite. Sorry,
Tim.
But things started getting big, and it was just spreading in Indiana. And he was starting to get in a little bit of trouble for having such forward beliefs. Indiana didn't like that he was trying to integrate things. They didn't like that. It's also fair to say that right now he's also trying to, I would say, manipulate weak areas.
Yeah, he's trying to grow like a platform.
He's finding a group of people that are already disenfranchised and pushed down, and he's supporting them and he's bringing them together. Same thing, a lot of his group was elderly people.
We understood him.
He understood groups that were beaten down and he wanted to bring them together. Also, if you say the right things, it's a little easier to manipulate people.
Oh,
just
okay.
I'm just putting those little things in there. Remind you of the guy we're working with here.
Yeah, Kool-Aid.
Exactly.
It's delicious.
And so around this time, he's getting a little more prophetic once the 60s come around, 1960s. He's believing himself to be more of a prophet. He's starting to push more of these beliefs on his followers. And in 1961, he says he has a vision that Chicago was under a nuclear attack by the Soviet Union and that all of Indiana was going to be put into like this wasteland. So he started actively searching for new places to move his church. He went for a while on a mission to Brazil, trying to see if he could build temples down there. It failed. But around that time when he was down in Brazil, he also passed through Guyana and got to look through that area.
I don't know how often you try to get permits in Brazil, but the last time that I was down there to get one, it lasted 3 months, and I never heard back from anything.
Sheesh.
It's super hard to get a permit there to start.
Yeah.
So
come on, what's up with that, Brazil?
A permit to start? I'm so confused.
Building temples or building anything really.
We were actually trying to build a Chuck E. Cheese, one of our previous adventures.
Don't you try to make buildings in foreign countries?
I'd like to make my own building, call it a house someday, but, like, other than that, no.
That's weird.
I'd like to make
that. That's weird of you to say.
I've never met someone that's never tried to get a permit in Brazil.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be me. What?
Right?
Come on. I'm seriously mind blown just now. Whoa, what?
Like, psych.
Ah. Oh, yikes.
You just fell.
You got
for
me.
A classic Regis flip flop.
So good. Because I was just like, what? Did you get a permit? What?
Why did you need a permit?
Did you just try? Did you call them back? Like.
Thank
whatever
you for believing
happened
that I went
when
to
they
ever.
Did, I was literally like, you wanted to build a church or like a temple?
You're like, wow.
I didn't see you as is that a Utah person thing? Do you guys just do that? Like, is that how you build stock? Like, yes. You could just invest in stocks. Yeah, I don't know. Okay, sorry.
That's completed me.
Now we can end the episode.
Hush my life.
It's so, too easy.
I can't do it. I can't. I'm so like.
Oh, fuck. Well, when he came back from Brazil, he said, that's a no-go, guys. It's not going to work out. So they went to the Redwoods of California. They found a place called Ukiah. They bought the land there. And this was in Mendocino County. And they just started kind of building a community there. Things are getting bigger. They're getting more followers. They also start buying these used buses. And whenever Jim Jones would tour around to do these sessions with just this big group of people, he would sometimes bring his followers with him, and they would, you know, be there to help support the church, help try and get more followers, you know, but sometimes they were also there to hang out in the crowds and be easy.
Basically pretend times to, like, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, uh-huh. And he would.
Softballs.
Yeah, exactly. He would have them come up to the stage like he'd never met them before. I've got this illness, or I've got this, and he would heal them, and they'd be healed. Shit would change. It'd be crazy. Also, one of the bigger ones that got a lot of people at this time was he would have people come up who said they had cancer, and he would then pull the cancer out of their body, and he'd pull this gross, disgusting mass out of their mouths, extracted the cancer from them.
What a show.
And then somebody who was there would quickly clean up the cancer. You don't want to be around it too much. You spread the cancer, and then would take it away.
Could you imagine being there, though? Like, one of like a kid, like as a child with your parents, just going to this gathering, and you're just, like, unaware and shit, and you're just like, whoa, that man just took some shit out of that guy. Like, he's good.
Done.
Sign me up.
Yeah.
I'm never going to get cancer as long as I come here.
Exactly.
Like, we're good.
He always had somebody clean it up right afterwards because he didn't want people looking at it too close because, of course, it was just chicken guts.
Ew.
It wasn't cancer.
Was it really chicken gut?
It was.
That's nasty. Did they, like,
sleight of hand, he would,
what
he
did
would make
they get
it
out of this? You want me to do what? Like, what? No.
You want me to pull chicken guts out of my mouth?
Because of what?
No, please.
Oh, really? Okay, sure.
So,
fine.
He's got really dedicated followers. They are all 100% in on believing that this is the best way to live your life. We're showing you the way of happiness. Capitalism is wrong. It's evil. Governments are oppressive.
But they have
join our socialist community.
So far, I'm on board.
I'm so
cool. Go hang out, live in the forest in community housing.
If I'm there at that time, I'm with the crowd. Let's ride it.
Yeah. So he had really dedicated followers. And some of the followers as well at this time were asking, wait, you want us to lie to the people? You're not actually healing these people? And he would calmly let them understand that you've been in the church now. You understand the truths. You've seen what's inside. But most people won't take that chance. This is to get people's attention.
He's like, it takes time, but we got to reel them in quick.
Sure, it's a little dishonest, but it's for the greater good because we can spread the truth to more people and add more strength and numbers to our...
Was he admitting to them that he doesn't heal people then, or is he still
he doesn't admit that he's not healing people and that he doesn't have the ability to heal people.
He's like, I just can't do it right
people
away. It takes time.
No, it's just that...
It's rare.
For most of the time, they were happy to help. And this really grew. So once they were in Ukiah and they were spreading through California, and they started getting more temples. They got some in Bakersfield, San Francisco, Los Angeles, all throughout California.
Was anyone trying to, like, out him during this period? Like, was anyone, like, against it?
I'm
or, like,
sure.
Well,
when he'd ask them to, like, help out with that, were they, was any, just one person out of all these people who was waiting?
I would bet, though, that the people that are looked at as, like, racists. Like, so, you know what I mean?
Like, he turned around and be like, oh, so you don't want to help? So you don't want to do this? Like, oh.
Let me give you some foreground of what's happening in Ukiah to help you understand. They have a community living where everyone works. No one gets paid. Everyone's, any money they have goes to the People's Temple. They don't have homes or material things outside of what People's Temple is.
I've heard of these communities. Everyone has their own role.
Well, and that's how a lot of places are outside of America, and especially if they believe in more socialism roles, where it's more about a community doing things for everyone, yeah. So we all grow.
Trade and support, as opposed to like currency.
Monetary values of things. Yeah. So they didn't own things. Most of the people, especially if they lived in Ukiah, like a lot of these people who are just going to the other temples throughout California, they still have homes. They still have jobs. And then they just go to his church.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes some of these people get so involved and want to give everything that they will move to the base camp there in Ukiah. And go for communal living and give up their possessions. But when they do that, they also are signing up this contract. They don't read the news, they don't watch movies, they don't watch TV, they don't own things because it's against their socialistic values. It's against their beliefs. They don't have this outside world on them.
Mm-hmm.
And
no outside
influences. At this time, people could come and go through Ukiah, but they wanted to keep people. Once they were in Ukiah, they did try to promote, stay here. You don't want to go back.
Don't give
there.
Up. I promise. It's going to be fine. So, no, it's fine. You don't need your TV. You're
Jim
fine.
Jim Jones.
Car, what?
No. If he's not out touring at one of the other temples or trying to get more followers, he's there. He lives in the communal housing as well. And he talks almost the whole time. They have this stage where he's teaching and talking to everyone
all day.
Almost
sounds miserable.
Almost the entire time
that they will work.
And
miserable for everyone.
A lot of this community is working 10-hour days inside of just the, and oh they God. Would immediately stop working, and they would listen to him talk from two to another 8 hours.
Damn.
But the thing is, so the really cool thing about this is they recorded their discussions. I've listened to a lot.
There is
hours and hours and hours and hours.
Oh, what the
literally
fuck?
Like and never ending shit. Like,
some of
insane.
It, yeah. Some of it is just madness.
Yeah.
But other shit, it's like, okay, just sounds like a church, or just sounds like a good group. One of the ones I listened to,
like the crowd cheers and everything.
Yeah, the crowd is. Wow, that's amazing! And then they start singing.
What the fuck?
Casey's all, I just brought it. Yes. I brought the spirit, and we're singing now. Some of it's there. Oh, people are just jamming.
I was on board completely until that.
Yeah,
I was like, well, it doesn't sound that bad.
So
okay, people are crazy.
No,
well,
and
he
so
continues to do little things to keep them hooked.
Yeah,
like to be like, hey, just remember, I'm top notch. This is me. You guys are here
and,
for me.
Well, and
I think that's what that socialist type of community does. Like, it eliminates the option for any type of power. Where America, like, the more money you have, the more powerful you are.
But he's saying that he's in the most powerful because he can do these things that you can't. He can help you.
Yeah,
get
well, there's
to this.
That portion of
and
it.
Like,
absolutely.
I'm like, yeah.
But without that money, like, there's no one there to challenge him. Well, I don't know. I don't think they're related.
No, for sure.
But,
yeah.
Well, they've left it.
Well, no, but
behind,
it's
so
easier
like,
to control.
We're going
to
stuck here.
Yeah,
it's easier to control
yeah.
someone.
Like, if you're desperate for everything else you need, you're just thankful for the fucking God in front of you.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God.
Well, see, and that's the thing.
Thank you so much.
He's this guy who, in their eyes, even though they gave up everything to be a part of it, he has given them everything they've ever wanted in a community.
Mm.
Especially when we talked about this, the group of disenfranchised people he sometimes had. In California, this started to grow because of his following and his teachings. It wasn't all crazy. And especially he was having problems with Indiana, and that's one of the reasons why they went to California. It was very progressive. It was forward moving.
Mm-hmm.
Like, gay rights was huge. Social equality was huge. Like, that was spreading through that area, so it also made sense.
What
and you were getting
was
more
this
people.
Again? Sorry.
This is the 50s, beginning of the 60s. 60s.
Mm.
Okay.
And so some notable Sorry. People, well, maybe not followers, but definitely attended services. Rosalind Carter, who was the first woman at the time.
My favorite
right?
first wife.
First lady. First wife?
My favorite first wife. And we
should marry her. Like, hey. Oh, Rosalind.
Those are the rough times.
Why don't you ever come back to me?
Because she's doing
Harvey Milk.
Yes.
Jane Fonda. And a lot of other political figures that I didn't write down because I knew you guys wouldn't know. So
I'm excited about just getting it. Yes.
So they were regular visitors to his services.
Really. Oh, weird. And so I don't know how to feel now. Oh, no.
You didn't realize that's what I was saying?
No, I didn't. I wasn't listening to the first part.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sad. That's okay.
It's fine. And so around this time, his when they first got to Ukiah, they had about 300 followers. At its peak in this time frame, they got up to 3,000 once all these temples started opening.
Impressive.
So they eventually moved their headquarter temple in San Francisco. And so Jim Jones was there a lot, and Ukiah was still just going on.
Like, they had a skyscraper in San Francisco? Is that what you're saying?
No, they had a temple there, though.
Oh.
But definitely not a skyscraper.
Well, headquarters, I don't think of, like, a temple.
Oh, you just made the cartoon version.
So they built a giant...
Headquarters, boom! It must be a tall building.
Yeah. It's got a giant satellite on top of it.
Yeah, there's lights whirling around it.
Exactly.
Security, for sure, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Not a skyscraper.
Not a skyscraper.
Temple.
The temple. This is where sometimes people would start leaving Ukiah. Once Jim Jones was gone, he wasn't around as often, so he started losing some followers.
So you keep convincing them on a daily.
So yeah, so he came back to Ukiah, and while he was there, somebody tried to assassinate him.
Yeah.
What?
Somebody shot at him, hit the side of his house. He ran back inside, and everyone heard the shots. He said, "Somebody just tried to kill me." Little did it come out to be, he just shot a gun outside of his house and claimed somebody tried to assassinate him.
Oh, he's really? Trying to be dramatic? Wow. Okay.
So now he's starting to lose some control of his followers. Got to reinvigorate them. Really give them a show. Let them understand.
I'm important.
This is what's happening. Yeah. This is our cause.
Someone's trying to kill me.
Our cause is big enough. Somebody is trying to kill me. Like, he also gets security because of somebody trying to assassinate him.
I take away all of his points.
They're gone. It wasn't when he flipped a switch on his wife. No, it's now.
That
okay.
didn't gain him any points.
I'll tell you some other stuff real quick to see if it gains points or loses points.
Oh, okay. My goodness.
So this community is getting more tight knit. They've got more security, always watching Jim Jones. Around this time, he also starts what is like his inner circle, where it's like they call it the planning community. Planning Council.
Party planning?
The PC. He gets this close-knit group of followers, and they start planning things and figuring out ways to grow the community, but also ways to help condition the community. One of the things he does with this PC, gives them all a drink one night. They're all celebrating and just having a drink. They don't drink alcohol. They don't do drugs. Just enjoying each other's company. They've all finished their drinks, and he says, "I poisoned all of our drinks. In about 30 minutes, we're all going to die."
What?
Then he tells them why he did it. It's for the church, and it's about revolution.
The last thing I want to hear when someone tells me that I got 30 minutes is, like, the reason. I'd be gone.
But you're part of a revolution now. You get to die for a cause.
Boom!
By the way, there could possibly also be a nuke outside that, by the time we die from our poisoning, it'll blow up and kill all of everyone else too, so you don't have to worry about your children or your family members. They'll die as well.
Motherfucker.
And they just believe. Oh, it was a setup to make them scared of him.
30 minutes into it, they're ready to die. They've accepted it. They're actually loving. They're caring. They're so happy about what's going to happen. And then he tells them, "Those are just a test. I actually didn't poison any of you. For me to, like, test you."
What a sick
this is a
fuck.
Complete mind fuck, dude.
And, but then also, like, but then also, so
he's like, value your life because it could end any moment. Be scared. So, be afraid. Good luck.
This,
I'm here.
Some of the followers that this would happen to, that they would fucked, do these
dude.
Tests.
He's a narcissist.
They would feel like a spiritual high afterwards. They just found this whole new reason of living and understanding
of
life.
That's just an adrenaline rush. That is a chemical release in your
feel
brain.
Feel like you're about to die?
Yeah, that's but not... That's not... Yeah, what the fuck?
He was doing this to, test them. But at the same time, it was also conditioning.
Yeah.
Motherfucker.
For sure.
What the hell?
This social conditioning. Mm-hmm. They started punishing people for crimes their own way. They tried to keep things in-house. But at the same time, they were also very accepting. So most things weren't punishable. Like
that just sounds like rape to me.
They didn't have like crazy crimes or anything like that. It was just they had punishments. But a lot of the time, some of their punishments were in the middle of everyone. Sometimes people were forced to strip completely naked in front of everyone and then sit down and be there the rest of the time. He would have people like beaten with sticks and thistles. They would do it willingly. He would have some of these people that would get completely broken down by punishments that after a while, after this conditioning, they believed these punishments were for their own good. They believed to where it wasn't just people doing something wrong that were getting punished. It ended up being everyone. Like
speaking another language.
Like, you can't steal. It's all trade.
A lot of different things.
Sneak in a newspaper article? Like, I don't understand.
There's so many different things about
pirating.
But a lot of them weren't like punishments for a crime. It was, you didn't work as hard as everyone else today.
Everyone would be happy
and clapping for them. And as soon as their beating was done, Jim Jones would come, give him a hug, and say, "I'm sorry that had to happen."
Oh, like, yikes!
But at the same time, this crazy shit's happening to this person that they're supposed to believe is for their own good, and then you have this figure come pick you up, say, "It's all right, it's fine, we forgive
that
you." More conditioning.
That's backwards.
So one of the things that I didn't want to talk too much about their punishments because it goes fucking crazy. One that I'm going to ask you now, if this adds bonus points to you or takes them away.
Oh, I really hope
there's
no more adding at this point. Like, I feel like you should have enough values and morals and like beliefs to like not add here we go.
Because
he's clearly like crazy.
I mean, I don't think they handled it the right way, but they had one person who came to the group that they didn't know. He ended up being a pedophile, and he molested one of the boys. No bueno. They were not okay with it.
Jim did?
No, one of the new followers was a pedophile.
Oh, gotcha. I'm sorry.
And they were like, let's give him his punishment. They took him to a shed. They had him place his goodies on a table, and they grabbed a rope and beat the shit out of his dick.
It sounds like not only did he do research into like other churches and like beliefs and shit, but he also did research into like some medieval shit. Like he's just like, hey.
So as I'm totally on board for
punishments in the future.
Yeah, I'm totally on board for higher punishments for pedophiles. I don't know if beating the shit out of their beans and mash is.
It sounds the way medieval. To do it. I feel like I've heard of that. Torture before.
Yeah. But like, so this guy, he had to be taken out and had medical treatment for weeks because of this, and that was their punishment.
Medical treatment like in the community, or did he have to go outside of the community to see the proper medical treatment?
They had medical treatment inside the community, but it was so bad that he had to go to outside medical treatment.
If he would have chopped it off, he would have got like a half point. Because he beat it, it's like negative a million points.
What happens though when he goes outside of the community to get medical treatment and they're like, "What happened to you?" And he's like, "Don't worry about it, I'm fine." Like,
nowadays that's normal though. Yeah.
Oh, no comment.
But yeah, so this is certain things that are getting people's attention. So even this fake assassination attempt was getting people's attention. So there was another assassination attempt where he had somebody shoot from the woods. The guy comes out and says he's dead, he died. The shot killed him.
Whoa.
Everyone's freaking out. And he comes back out. He's got blood on his shirt. There's a tear in his shirt.
Yes.
I just healed myself.
Mother. Yes.
Brought myself back to life.
Mm-hmm. He read the Bible once upon a time, apparently. Hold on, I can come back. Right? You're fine.
The shirt he was wearing, they made it like a big thing. Like they framed it and said, this is where a miracle happened. That kind of caught the attention of, local authorities. In the 60s as well, once Ukiah started up more, was also around the time when Jim Jones started wearing sunglasses 24/7. He started dabbling in methamphetamines.
That got dark. weed.
So this guy is traveling around all the time. He's got this huge community he's taking care of. He's speaking 2 to 12 hours a day. He's dealing out punishments.
He's like, "Look, I'm exhausted. I need an upper."
So he's also doing, but at the same time, he's also doing like accountant work, business management, all this crazy shit because everyone's giving money.
His inner circle doesn't do that work?
No, that's part of why he started doing more of the inner circle and hiring accountants and lawyers.
He's like, there's not enough meth for me to keep
community.
Up with all these finances.
Yeah, he starts doing more meth, and because of all the meth psyching him up, he needs things to bring him back down a little bit to help him sleep too. So he's also taking barbiturates and hallucinogens and
you know, Valium and all that crazy fun shit. So his eyes are like fucking fucked.
Yeah, he's like, everyone's gonna know. It's fine. I'm just gonna cover them. It's okay.
Yeah, so things are crazy in the woods. And so they're living out here in Ukiah mostly still, where it's fairly wooded area, just trying to survive. What would you recommend that they had to survive in those woods, Regis?
The only thing to survive in the woods is something that you don't need to carry in a backpack, something that you don't need to keep in a pocket.
Exactly.
But something you can wear on your wrist.
Damn straight.
You know what else you can wear on your wrist?
A telephone. No.
You could try. But the best thing for these guys would have been the SOS emergency rescue and survival bracelet.
I don't know how well it would have gotten them out of a cult, but I mean, it would have definitely helped them survive.
There's many things it could, because I'll tell you about this thing. This has more gadgets than you'd find on a Navy Swiss blade.
Damn.
I'm telling you. But first, let me tell you about this. Research has shown that over 2,000 people get lost in the wild every year, some of which never make it out alive because of exposure to the elements, dehydration, or an injury.
Or maybe being assassinated in the woods.
It's possible. These emergency situations are never planned. They are simply people that have been distracted by the moment, whether it was taking a shortcut, tracking game, or getting the photo. The SOS bracelet gives you the tools you need to signal for help and increase your chances of rescue in almost any situation.
Okay.
You will also have the tools you need to fashion a shelter, acquire food, or purify water.
What about capture Bigfoot?
Yeah, that's possible. With all these tools, it's definitely something in the mix. Now, each paracord bracelet is handcrafted locally and has been through rigorous testing, ensuring a quality product.
Dude, and they look dope. Like, they are fucking cool.
You can pass with just wearing it every single day and just look like you have a dope bracelet. Now, there's two different types to choose from depending on your needs. There's one that's called the overnighter.
Uh-huh.
Then there's also the extended stay.
That's the one I have.
So you
can kind
of...
It's got a flashy light.
Self-explanatory. Now, there's things all included in this. This list goes on and on that it fills an entire page, but you've got things like a compass, a knife, a scraper, a ferro rod, storage compartment.
Safety pins.
Rescue whistle.
Ranger band.
Signal mirrors.
Fluorescent ribbon.
Swivels. The list...
Fire starter.
We haven't hit the entire list. Serious, all these things are on one bracelet that you carry around. You don't put it in your backpack. You keep it on your wrist, and you get yourself saved in any situation.
To survive like this, I mean, I don't have money because I live at a cult, but I would pay thousands of dollars for a product like this.
Did you just say hundreds of thousands of dollars?
I said millions of thousands of dollars, my
friend.
Well,
you're overpaying, because I'm telling you this thing, you can get it here. So... I'm going to tell you, for scapegoat listeners that want to get your a wrist on one of these bracelets of the wrist, does that make sense?
Yes.
Hit up the SOS bracelet. Now, if you let them know them from scapegoats.
Or space goats.
The overnighter, you can get that for only $30.
The Poof! Extended stay.
For $40.
Damn.
It's a small price you pay for something that gets you out of a situation.
And that's pretty fucking cool.
For more information to your orders, email thesosbracelet@gmail.com. Or you can find them on YouTube as well. Get instructional videos on how to use everything at the SOS Bracelet.
That's how I use the whistle on my SOS Bracelet.
Guys, hit them up.
Thanks, Goats.
Hey, Lucina.
Hi.
Yeah. So another thing that was happening in his community at the time was that he was slowly more and more using his powers that he had in this community to manipulate his way to have sex with anybody. Black, white, man, woman, whatever.
Do you judge me if I give him a point?
No.
Wait, no, hold on. Children too, or is it just
older? No children, no children.
Okay, better not. If children, zero. Give him a point for that. Are you serious?
No.
Okay,
but no.
Okay,
so
fine.
Thanks.
So
I do get a point?
I mean, if you
I don't get the point.
There's no children involved.
But,
fine,
I mean,
but...
you're given the point. I mean, but he's kind of raping these
Sounds
people
like a little...
through manipulation
yeah.
and power. But, I mean...
That's bad.
Yeah, it's definitely
I'm
bad.
Not saying it's good.
Not good, but, I mean, yeah.
In that's the badass thing, point book, he got one.
That's
point.
One thing I would say about almost every cult leader is they are always drawn to sexual acts, for sure.
Well, he's a professional manipulator.
Yeah.
So
I feel for people who manipulate that much and are that convincing towards others, I feel like most of them usually have a high sex drive.
They wield it.
They're so, yeah. They're just I don't know.
No, for sure.
It's to find their own balance, maybe? I don't know.
So he was having sex with a lot of the followers. In order for him to stay in tune with his spirit, he needed to have a release consistently.
Wait, it was considered an honor to have sex with him.
Yes.
What? Yeah, everybody knew about it.
What?
It was an open thing, yes. Everyone knew that he was
using
it. The community knew that this was his F-buddy.
What I'm saying is, I don't understand how she's continuing to be okay with these things. Like, it keeps getting more and more extreme. Imagine being her.
Yeah, so things...
Like, on her end, she's okay. Wow, he just keeps going. What else do you want? Like, anything else? Do you want anything else from me, sir?
Were definitely changing. She wasn't super happy with things that were happening. He also ended up having a child with the kind of the community's lawyer, Tim Stone's wife. He had a child with her, and that was one of the last straws for Marceline,
the lawyer baby.
So she
was probably out of love. He's probably like, I really dig that chick.
So there was multiple times
when really smart baby
god baby baby god
Jesus,
like a sweet little baby prophet. Jesus okay. Prophet baby,
maybe, like a prophet.
Exactly. But so there's Marceline tried to leave several times. This was one of the times she decided she was going to leave. Jim Jones pretty much just, in front of the kids, shamed her to stay.
Oh my gosh. I thought it was going to be way worse than that. What? No. Oh, okay.
All right. He had a lot of control. Like, he killed her, but a common threat among some of these people, if once they got close enough into the circle, if they wanted to defect, death was a threat.
What?
Especially once he got his guards, you know what I mean? And that was also another threat for Marceline, even though... Her kids wanted to stay because they were being manipulated.
Yeah, they were like, what? No, dad's like awesome. She's also, in the back of her mind,
she's also worried that that's something he could do, have her hunt down and killed. So one of the things that proved that as well was they had a group of 8 youths. They had allowed them, they paid for their college and start careers and better the community.
How did they pay for it? How did they still have money?
This group had millions.
What?
Because everyone was bringing money in and all giving it to people's temple. Because
there were some people that didn't live in the community. There were some people that were a part of the church but lived outside and had like
great jobs. They're like church donations.
They're still giving money all the time. And that's part of his... And a lot of the people who live in the Ukiah community are getting welfare checks and Medicare checks.
Absolutely.
And those checks are also going to people's temple.
What?
So they've got lots of money.
Does this still happen today?
Yes, cults happen all the time.
No, but yeah, that part. But is welfare checks a part of tithing that, or like offerings that people give to their church?
I don't know. I'm going to go ahead and say
yes. Is my tax dollars being given to churches?
Yes.
Yeah. Fuck that shit. What the fuck?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, they had lots of money.
I can't continue on with this knowing that this happened. I'm curious.
Taking a stand. Okay, here we go.
Well... In his spare time, Jim Jones liked to go to movie theaters.
Oh.
Even though he didn't let his followers go to movie theaters or see movies and stuff like that, especially people in Ukiah. Even though he's getting all of pretty much any sex he wants from within his community, it just shows a little more about this guy's character. He still needs to go out. He goes to a movie theater that is very well known for...
Handjobs.
Yeah, gay sex, pretty much.
Glory holes.
Yeah, I guess the Grindr, the 60s Grindr app. Oh, hey, go to this movie theater.
The movie theater that smells like bleach.
Touch
they
toes.
Have to clean all the time.
Go sit next to a guy in the movie theater. Knock toes floors. With him. And if he stands up and follows you to the bathroom, you're done. You're good.
How did you know the rules?
Wow.
Because that's what happened.
Oh.
The guy stood up with him, went into the bathroom. Jim Jones is like, hey, let's get going. He pulls out his dick, starts masturbating, and try to get the guy excited. Turns out he was an undercover cop.
Yes!
Oh, shit.
Oh, those were some shitty cops, too, back in the day. Like, the undercover ones.
There's a lot of this talk of what's happening, but not in the Ukiah community.
Because they can't access
it. They're excluded.
They can't access it.
Things are getting in and out of the community. Even though with his lawyers and his political pull, I mean, we've talked about some of his friends. He was also really close with the local governor and helped him win his seat. He had jobs in politics and in the community. He was well known. Between that and him having a really good lawyer... Charges ended up being dropped.
Did he do any time?
No. And this was really frustrating for, that police officer, I bet.
Yeah, he's like, wow.
For real. What a shitty end of the day right there.
But so that just kind of speaks to how much.
That's kind of what he gets, not gonna lie.
How big his community was getting and how much political pull he had at its peak. This was bringing bad attention. Got more people investigated, more people looking into it. And then that's when more things started coming out about, like, the beatings that were happening. It's just building and building, a lot of this craziness. And that's when Jim Jones decides we need to move somewhere else. This is too much. Especially right after those 8 kids I talked about who got sent off to college. They came back, held Jim Jones to gunpoint, and said, we want out. You need to let us out. Yikes. And our family who wants to stay, Dude. You need to treat them right. You can't punish them for us leaving. And he said, okay. After they left, and he got so furious and he wanted to hunt them down. But Marceline calmed him down and said, just let them go. Wait. So that was also a big blow to the People's Temple, and especially Jim Jones, was that group of 8 leaving.
The ones that saw the outside.
Nobody really left at this time. So that was a big blow. Things are changing. He needs to go somewhere. He's letting his community have too much control.
What?
He needs to have all of the control. That's when they bought land in Guyana, which he had passed through on his mission trip to Brazil.
You got the permit?
Yeah, so normally going somewhere to get a permit, like something like that, would take forever. So Guyana had just recently gotten free from British rule. They had some socialist and communist views. They were a little more open to more communities coming in. And they were also in a dispute with Venezuela. When Jim Jones people and says, hey, we need this land for our followers, we're going to pay you this much for it. We'll also set it all up. We'll clear out our own area. We're going to farm it. They also gave them a large area of land that was actually very infertile. And they had to clear out all this jungle. The nearest water source was almost 7 miles away. And the only way to get there was through very muddy land. A rough area to sell, okay. I think you could say. And it was also very close to the Venezuelan border, which they were hoping, hey, having this large group of Americans right here, maybe that'll be enough pressure for Venezuela not to try and invade and take over Guyana.
Okay.
So they're thinking, hey, all of these American citizens who, even though they're coming there, they're still going to be considered American citizens.
Yeah, and they're crazy.
By the American government. Yeah, so,
I mean, if Venezuela invades and kills all these Americans in their way trying to invade Guyana, that'll also involve Americans then. Mm-hmm. You're paying us, you're doing the work yourself.
And you're American.
And you're going to kind of actually protect our country a little bit. Yeah, let's go. So it happened very quickly. They got about 500 people from People's Temple going that they were old farmers. And they're thinking, okay, this is a 10-year prep job. And then we can start bringing people. It was really slow progress. And then that adds even more pressure once things keep getting worse for the People's Temple, specifically for Jim Jones. He's starting to lose followers. A lot of people, especially that aren't in his Ukiah grouping, more of his, almost you could say, celebrity followers who are also bringing in a large amount of money and donations. What made them leave immediately was that a giant article was about to be released about Jim Jones that was going to release a lot of bad shit. He knew that they had to go. Got as many people as they could, and they just went down to Guyana.
Oh, okay.
Dun, dun, dun. Oh.
You looked like you were about to say something.
I think he's saying, like, that was it. And go.
So, in Guyana, they had that was mostly community housing. They had a large area where they all grouped together to meet and where they mostly listened to Jim Jones speak all the time. They were farming. They were working nonstop. When they first got there, they were farming about 10 hours a day. And then after those 10-hour shifts, they would have free time. And things in Guyana before Jim Jones and People's Temple came to Guyana when they were like getting things set up, a lot of these accounts from people said it was the best time of their life. It was hard work, like working through this jungle, but they were building something. They were building a community, and they all loved each other. They were this giant family that were just working together to build what they thought was like the promised land, their Garden of Eden. Mm. But then when Jim Jones came, with all this pressure mounting from his political issues, fleeing America, I mean, he's also very deep into drugs at this point, and he's very exhausted.
Never sleeps, poor guy.
He just wore sunglasses all the time. Things, don't forget that.
Yeah, he's wearing sunglasses.
The boss 20%. Would come in.
Things start changing.
Exhausted.
They said within about 2 days of him getting there, the energy in what is now known as Jonestown completely changed. It only took about 18 months for things to really
just get out of hand. They are, like I said, they're working nonstop, and then right after working, they are then listening for 6 to 8 hours of Jim Jones speaking.
Still going.
Not to mention they have a giant PA system that runs throughout their entire community that even while they're working, he is either talking to them or he's recorded himself and he's playing himself over and over this PA system.
Okay. That's very creepy. That's just like brainwashing all day, every day.
They had,
while you work, that's exhausting. Right? It's poor people.
Free they time, played sleep some time. Movies.
That's when they sleep. It's their free time.
They played some movies, but they were only a very few amount of movies that were very
low key, low budget.
And more propaganda like movies. That we're still, even when they're relaxing to try and watch a movie, it's very more socialistic.
It's still anxiety-inducing, like stressful?
Well, a little more related to communism or like political revolutions.
I was hoping you would say like independent films.
Yeah, like in
it's just more
some of those, you know, like The Reflection. I heard that one.
No old yelling. Like
if you join a cult, you'll definitely see Regis's movie, The Reflection.
I'll dare you.
Things were not doing good. They were restless. They were tired. Jim Jones is getting paranoid. Jim Jones is believing his own shit at this point. I think it's so far gone, and he's just so drugged up and so drunk off of power. But also, they are now living with each other 100% of the time, and they're building their homes, really, so they're all together all of the time. They don't even have the ability to go out of towns to see other people in California or go out of the shops. They're pretty much always there. And Jonestown is a gated facility, too. So everyone's kind of losing it a little. But the community's still happy. They still are staying positive and believing in 100% their cause. This goes on for a while, and it gets worse once Jim Jones starts what are called the White Knights. There's a lot of speculation of why it's called the White Knights, but it's also important to remember that about 70% of the People's Temple were African American. The White Knight seems like a kind of a scary name, but it also inherently brings a little bit of fear to most of the community.
That is harsh. He's like, hey, really quick, I'm just going to throw this right back in your face. You guys thought you were free.
Yeah. Also, and around this time when these White Knights start is also when he's also talking a lot about how in America right now, they've rounded up minorities and are putting them into prison camps.
Oh, geez.
30 years before this, that's when they were rounding up Asian Americans in prison camps just right after World War II with Pearl Harbor. Like, that actually happened. So some of the people, part of this community, were alive during that happened, so it doesn't seem that unreasonable. Mm-hmm. Plus, they don't have any contact with the outside world.
They don't
know. So for him telling them this information,
that's
shit's
true.
Crazy. Even when things were getting tough, people didn't think they had an option to go back. There wasn't anything really outside of their community now. They've given all of their money. They don't have homes if they leave. They don't even have passports. Jim Jones has their passports.
What?
What a fucker.
He's in control of everything. And he's also constantly breeding this fear that you think things are hard here while we're working? This is what's going on out there.
Mm-hmm.
So when these White Knights start, one of them, most importantly to call out, is the 6-day siege. He has someone fire gunshots out, another assassination attempt. And he says it's the Guyanese government. They dispute all of these things. He says, okay, guys, we can either commit revolutionary suicide, we can try to go to Soviet Russia, or let's go through the jungle and get to safety in Port Katuma, which is nearby. They ended up going out into the jungle. After he gave everyone the chance to choose what their option is, and they hiked throughout the jungle, eventually came back because one of the followers hurt themselves. And that's when they got radio in that the Guyanese government wasn't coming to attack them anymore. We won. We did it. We're good.
Oh,
we can go back.
Okay. All is safe.
They're not surrounding our compound anymore. Like that. But even though they got back, he still forced everyone to stay awake nonstop. Everyone was awake for 6 days straight during this time.
Oh, no.
Tensions were so high. They were so nervous and paranoid. They believed they were being attacked. The threat of being killed was an option. And then after it was over, Jim Jones would let them have the day off the next day. We need a breather. Generous. We need to relax. A key element of conditioning.
It's insane.
You have all this craziness that's happening outside, and as soon as that's done, here, let me give you this. Relax. Things are okay now. There's this reward after going through all of these tests.
He's a nice guy.
What a sweetheart, right? You know?
So
he believes in equality.
Yeah, exactly.
He
Gives people a chance to catch their breath.
Yeah. I mean, the movies I talked about, you know, they're shitty. So they needed entertainment, right?
As anybody would.
One of the things they did for entertainment was he had people of the group fist fight each other.
Oh, woo! Geez.
Sometimes, all right. Sometimes it'd be older, like elderly ladies against like small kids.
I'm oh not my against gosh, that.
Are you so serious?
And the kids would win because they're old ladies, of course. I mean, and sometimes it was just adult men versus men, women versus women. They would have like these fight nights.
No. Toddlers versus elders. All like they can't have adults versus adults. It's
that's not fun.
This has to be like complete opposites goal.
At that point.
See who wins. Survival of the fittest. Yikes.
Yeah. So that was one of the punishments they had for people was you fight this person now. But sometimes that was also part of the entertainment. They would just be laughing and having a great time watching people beat the shit out of each other. Mm. And after it was over, they would congratulate everyone, say sorry for your punishment. We love you. But also some of the punishments weren't fight night. Sometimes you got put into a giant well. And we're left there for days.
This dude makes the mayor from Walking Dead seem like a normal person.
Yeah. He's just not killing people straightforward with a gun into their face.
He's just twisted.
Yeah. He's fucking nuts. So things are getting crazy. One of the people that really made the People's Temple leave America was Congressman Lee O'Ryan. He was one of the people that was really pushing on Jim Jones before he left. And so when things were coming back from Guyana about word of what's happening in Guyana, he was investigating it. Now, there's also this other section of family members in America who are either part of the People's Temple still and they're just family members that didn't go to Guyana, or they're family members but they're not a part of the People's Temple.
They just lost their family members. Yeah.
They're getting these letters from their family, and they start a community. Hey, like, we all have family there. Like, let's see what's going on there together. They started noticing all of their letters were the same. And so that's when they got nervous and concerned. And it's true. Jim Jones was in control of all of the mail. Any mail coming out that seemed like, hey, this is happening. Like, what's going on? Like, or can you help us get out?
Damage control.
Flagged it. No. And then they would send fake letters in its place. And then they would filter in the letters coming in.
Fuck.
So this group of concerned relatives, they started a community and started trying to have people go investigate what was happening. Clearly, something's going on.
Mm-hmm. Like in Jimmy Neutron, when every kid has a note from their parents as they went on a vacation.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Exactly.
Nope. Nobody?
I watched that movie 2 weeks ago.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Just so you know what I'm talking about.
My favorite was, dear son and or daughter.
Yeah. Dear family member.
Yeah. This has been great. I got married to a doctor. Yeah. So they started having people trying to come investigate Jonestown, and they were not being let into the gates. Eventually, Tim Stone, the lawyer who used to be, or the person who used to be the lawyer for the People's Temple, mm-hmm. was trying to come to Guyana because he wanted his son. Because remember, his wife had an illegitimate child with Jim Jones.
No.
And it all came to a head. And this large group led by Lee O'Ryan came to Jonestown. They wanted to investigate what was happening. They wanted to meet with all the people that were related of these concerned relatives and just to see what the facilities were like. It takes them 2 days to get in, but they eventually come in thinking that they're going to be faced with angry people or people throwing things at them because they're part of the government. They're believed to be the enemies mm-hmm. right now. It's super welcoming. Everyone is happy. Food, they have facilities, there's homes, that's communal living.
So everything looks great on the outside.
Most of the time for dinner and meals, they had mostly just rice and beans. But whenever a visitor came, they would have like a big pork feast with all these vegetables, and that seemed like that's what the norm was. Which it really should have, with considering that the fact that they still had about $70 million at the time.
So these people were excited.
They could
when
have
visitors
had so
came.
Much money.
They're like, oh my God, but we are going to feast tonight.
They had been bred in with fear that Lee O'Ryan was one of the people who was trying to take away their way of life. And so this was one more test. If we can prove to this guy that we're here and we want to be here and we're making it work, socialism can happen, then they'll write us off. They'll leave us alone. We can live our lives. That's what they think. If they can prove to this guy everything's fine.
Because they think that the rest of it is bad. Like the outside world is like, no.
Even though things are fucking crazy, this just shows how conditioned and
brain warped everyone is. Most of the people just want to be there.
Like, legitimate.
They just want to be there. They that's are happy.
Insane. Oh my gosh, that's insane.
But, so anyways.
I can't.
A note gets passed to one of the crew members, group of people that came in. It has...
The Orion group?
Yeah. The Leo Ryan group.
Yeah, I was like, Leo
one
Ryan.
One of them who was also a broadcasting team.
This whole time
team
I was
came.
Thinking his name was Lee O'Ryan. His name was Leo Ryan.
Leo Ryan.
Yeah. Moving on.
Yeah, I get
this
you.
Whole time I was thinking important. He was Irish.
I don't think so.
Anyway.
But yeah, he also brought a broadcasting crew with him, and one of these cameramen had a note passed to him that says, paraphrased, get me and my wife out of here.
Gold.
They leave for the night to go stay outside of Jonestown, and the crew brings the note. He says, hey, I got past this note. All together, they found that 12 different groups of people had all come saying, hey, you need to get us out of here. Like,
damn.
So they're like, okay. Leo Ryan, at this big banquet they had, finally said, you know what? Like, these might not be the living conditions for everyone that they would like, but you all seem really happy here. Like... This seems like a working community. And I've listened to the tape when he says stuff. When he said that, everyone in this goddamn room just starts cheering and screaming and losing their shit. Because, like I just said, they just proved that their way of life works. If he said that we did it right, we're free. We don't have to feel this fear anymore. They were so happy.
Oh, no.
It's nuts. It's like listening to the tapes. It's crazy.
I've listened to a couple of them. Like, I've listened to a couple of the tapes, and I'm just...
That is the creepiest thing right? I can ever
it's
think
like
of.
It's like very, like...
The most insane.
Yeah, it's super eerie.
Because they're not real cheers, but they are, but no, they're not.
Right.
They are lies.
Yeah, it's...
They are baffled.
But it's all but these it's people like, that are really happy. But the next day, Leo Ryan is thinking, wow, okay, well, I was wrong. This is all just fine. Then these crew members start telling him everything that's happening. So early in the morning, they start going around to these families and trying to get together people who want to leave. And Jim Jones isn't very happy about that. About a group of 11 people that night snuck out in through the jungle. They were trying to get out. They were like, okay, things are already high alert. Let's get them out. They start collecting the people who want to leave. Then Leo Ryan is attacked with a knife by one of the followers. So it's time to die, bitch.
Oh, yikes.
Stabby, stabby. No, I'm just kidding. But he freezes and isn't able to, like, stab him or anything. He's taken down by other church members. Time to go now. Let's get going. They start heading out to the plane towards Port Katuma. And there's so many followers now that they need two planes. So they're sitting there at the landing strip waiting for the second plane to come. One of the defectors was Larry Layton. And it was weird because he was very loyal to the cause. So some of the defectors got nervous. But they got there. They started.
Like they thought he was
like
sneaky.
Yeah, like
not...
maybe. Even some of the people said, we shouldn't bring him with us.
Oh.
He's. And they
like,
no,
fuck
he,
him, this
he doesn't,
is a lie.
He wants
he
to
doesn't
come.
Really
yeah.
want to come. Like he wants to snitch us out.
They start loading up into the planes, and Larry Layton starts shooting at people. He doesn't kill anyone. Oh. But he does graze a couple people, and the gun is wrestled out of his hands. So he injures some people. He does shoot people, though.
He didn't kill anybody in a plane?
They hadn't taken off yet.
But they were inside a plane, and he couldn't get a good shot? Are you serious?
Right?
He sounds like a really shitty... Yeah.
Don't worry.
I'm just saying, like, he was in a plane shooting
the fuck's
around,
his problem?
Only,
it's like shooting fish in a barrel.
He only grazed people in a plane? Do you see where I'm coming from?
I understand. Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying, like, was he just trying to scare... Was he like, just kidding, I just want to scare you guys out? Like, what? I'm just saying.
You're saying you could do a better job?
Probably.
She's inside not saying she a, will,
like,
but she could.
I'm not saying I will, but, like, when you're in this small, like... I just think of planes as, like, small things that just... I don't know. They needed two of them to get the people out? Like, come on.
What kind of plane was it?
Yeah, what kind of plane?
It's 747.
It's a Cessna. It's like a 6-person plane.
Yikes.
Oh, okay.
Come on. He sounds weak. Or like he was just like, I just want to scare you guys out. Like, I don't really want to kill you guys. Like, I just need you guys to go back. Do you know what I mean?
Okay.
Yeah.
So you think he purposely like
didn't kill anyone? Yeah.
Because I mean, he meant to not kill anybody.
A 6-person plane. He would have been able to kill everybody and been like, shh, nobody talk about this.
Like
it's
people
fine.
Who try to shoot people and shoot them in the leg.
I mean, I feel like
we're getting
like,
too off track.
Yeah, I'm sorry. My bad.
This guy was just trying to kill people. Either way,
kill anybody.
He didn't
plane.
Succeed, but he fucked.
He just grazed him.
Okay,
but not a big deal that he didn't kill them because he had a backup.
What?
So while the rest of the other passengers are boarding the larger plane that held about 12 people, a tractor came and within around 30 feet stopped, and the security team, known as the Red Brigade at this point, started firing at the people in the plane. Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
They said about 9 shooters. The NBC cameraman Bob Brown was killed along with Robinson, Harris, and the Temple.
Brown.
I know, right? Temple defectors. It's clear that Leo Ryan was the main target for sure. He was shot 20 times.
Yikes.
So,
they just in case. To make sure. Who knows? Really, you know.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Definitely not by the guy that missed all of them in the plane, but.
Yeah.
He was a decoy.
The 9 that were injured but did not die. Those were. Everyone else was killed within in that area. So.
I seriously didn't.
What?
But so, for that's no, just the airstrip shooting. So, after Leo Ryan left the compound, Jim Jones was losing it. Most people in the community are thinking only 26 people left. The 11 people who escaped tonight, and then the 25 who left just barely. That's not too bad.
Yeah,
we were
like,
expecting
we're fine,
people
it's
to.
Okay.
But to Jim Jones, losing any people was failure. That's things were going downhill. No more. After he sent his Red Brigade to go take out people at the airstrip, and so he's telling them now it's too late for us. They're going to try and take away our way of life, especially now that people from our community have killed the congressman. We can't go anywhere. I mean, one of the followers is even like, what about if we can go to Russia now? These people are dead now. They're nowhere is going to take us. We have no value anymore.
They really thought Russia wouldn't even take them? Shoot.
Right.
That's some deep brainwashing.
Well, they killed an American congressman. They're not going nowhere. At this point, he tells them, we have to commit revolutionary suicide. Most people, at least based off what you're listening to the tapes, 100% willing to do this. So this is where it gets pretty extra fucked up. He had everyone put together, and they brought out containers of it's actually called Flavor Aid. A lot of people thought it was Kool-Aid.
Ah, tricky.
But it was actually Flavor Aid that was laced with cyanide, Valium, and lots of other things. Mostly cyanide, though. And he said, well, let's administer it to the children first. Everyone willingly gave over all their children. They were syringed. And then shortly after that was done, then other people started taking the poison, drinking the Flavor Aid. Either willingly drinking it or syringing it into their mouths.
It's very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
Well, no, I've heard some different versions of it where some people were in panic because they didn't want to give up their kids.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Either way, it happened.
Yeah.
I know, right? It ended with about 918 people total dead. 304 of which were minors. And out of everything, out of the people who escaped, and out of people who just happened to not be in the compound at the time, only 36 people survived out of this entire community.
Glad to hear there are survivors.
So one of the survivors being Stefan.
Ugh, I bet.
He actually wasn't at the compound at the time. Several of the other kids in the area weren't. They actually had a Jonestown basketball team. And they're actually part of a tournament in Georgetown, which was a nearby area. So this was all happening. And he was there with some other followers. And he's like, hey, don't do anything until I'm able to investigate more. He goes out to investigate more. While this happens, 4 of the people at this Georgetown building kill themselves there.
What?
Mm-hmm. So a woman and her 3 kids go into a bathroom. The mother slit their throat, and then she slits her own throat.
Whoa.
Holy shit.
Yeah. In a bathroom.
Never, not once have I heard about this murder-suicide that happened alongside the Jones.
So,
what?
So,
literally, what?
Yeah, happened in Georgetown, just nearby. And so,
she can't get past this part.
So, sorry for that grim ending. But I think it's time to get where the conspiracies happen. Because you yourself even asked, I didn't know this was a conspiracy.
Yeah.
So this is something that happened, but where the conspiracies come in.
I don't understand.
Yeah. It's pretty fucking crazy. This is the most American civilian life lost that was considered to be of their own choice. It wasn't like a plague or anything.
Exactly, yeah. Voluntary.
Voluntary deaths that happened. And it was that way until 9/11.
All right.
So the theories come in not so much about if it happened or not, of course, because it happened. But it's just little key things of what did happen. So theory number one.
Jonestown was a failed MK Ultra test. We've already talked about MK Ultra. And the CIA doesn't like people causing problems for the government, of course. I mean, that's just things that are fair to say. But where the theory comes in is that the CIA was actually controlling this group, and these brainwashing techniques were actually testing the boundaries of what they could get a group of people to do under mind control.
Okay.
Theory number two.
We can get to
that. Also involves the CIA, but different. So Ryan was pushing legislation to have more control over the CIA, which allegedly the CIA didn't like. And there was allegedly a CIA building in Guyana that was close to the People's Temple building there in Georgetown.
Not a skyscraper.
Not a skyscraper.
Just in case.
Just a little office, maybe. And so maybe it was the People's Temple was causing issues for the CIA, and so they had everyone executed. Or maybe Leo Ryan was just the main enemy. They killed Leo Ryan. They assassinated him. But to cover the tracks, they also killed everyone in Jonestown and made it look like it was people from Jonestown that killed them, so that there was no fallback on the CIA.
Okay.
I feel like that's a little far-fetched.
It's possible.
We gotta do this, but to cover it up, we have to kill, like, a bunch of people. Oh, but it's fine.
Yeah. 900.
I really hope that's not the case.
918.
I really hope that's not the case. If it is, then people. We are just, there's no mercy.
Yeah. And things like that could happen. Theory number three, which is one of the more commonly believed theories and is becoming more and more believed, is that it wasn't mass suicide. It was just mass murder. I'll tell you 100%.
That's the one I believe. I'm not going to lie.
So I'm going to say what I believe right up front. I mean, 304 minors, they don't have the ability to say, yeah, let's commit suicide. So 100%, that's murder.
Mm-hmm.
And then people want to make the decision to commit suicide for a cause. They're adults. They made that decision. But I still believe they were mind-fucked into doing it. Rational people wouldn't just do it. They were manipulated to do so. Another form, they were murdered. But one of the things was at least 70 people that were found dead when they were doing autopsies had forced injection wounds.
Signs of struggle.
Bent syringes in their skin or multiple syringe marks in areas on their back where they couldn't have been doing that to themselves. And there was also allegedly people who had gunshot wounds. Maybe they weren't killed by the gunshots, but they had gunshot wounds.
Just grazed.
And so some of the people who escaped while this was happening in Jonestown, there was about, I think, four people who, while it's in the middle, like Jim Jones is telling everyone they need to commit suicide, are able to say no and, like, get away. And they hide in the jungle. And some of them say they only heard like one or two gunshots. Some of them say they heard hundreds of gunshots. So it could have been that, sure, half of this community was fully willing to die for the cause, but the kids didn't have a choice. It's very possible that a large chunk of them also didn't have a choice, but they were being surrounded by guards at gunpoint, and some people were doing syringes. It's fair to say that maybe some of these people were just murdered if they didn't want to commit suicide. That's one of the more popular believed theories now.
I just picture chaos like that.
Regis, you need to be funnier. What's going on right now?
I don't.
He's like, he's
you don't want to make a joke right now?
He's like, what do you mean that? God. What?
Real stick in the sand.
He's like, this really happened.
Yeah. You've crushed my soul and you want me to.
Well, don't worry.
Tell you jokes.
Theory number four.
What? Please. Oh, please tell me something good.
I thought that was it.
The Jim Jones that was in Jonestown was not Jim Jones.
Then who was he?
So here it goes, is either Jim Jones was killed or died from drug overdosing in America. Because things seriously change as soon as he gets to Guyana. He starts gaining weight, his health declines. You can even hear his voice in these recordings. They used to be so cheery and lifeful and like a real happy person, but when he's recording, he sounds 40 years older. He sounds like he's like 80 and slurring, and he's lost his charisma for sure. Maybe it was just a Jim Jones lookalike or a CIA double. And so, but one of the things that was interesting when they did the autopsy on Jim Jones,
he didn't have the chest tattoos that were marked in his arrest for soliciting sex.
What?
It took several tries of scanning his fingerprint to actually ID it as him. And so...
But what if the guy back the one that got arrested, wasn't... Escuela? the one that means school in Spanish. Yeah. I'm very aware of that. But it just sounds so much like, excuse me?
Yeah, exactly. That, like, that's why I do escucha. It's not exactly excuse me.
Escuela? Yeah. harsh-ass life, and then into this religious life and political life. Like, when the fuck did he have time to get tattoos?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Well, I mean,
while he's out at the movies,
right?
Getting hand jobs by dudes. Yeah.
Ooh, that's when I get tattoos. Can I get a high five?
I'm just saying, like, what chest tattoo? What the fuck? He had tattoos. Like, what?
He had chest tattoos, and it was known by his community that he had chest tattoos. I don't fucking know. But he didn't have them when they were doing his autopsy. I think, yeah. So either the person, the Jim Jones there, died, but it wasn't Jim Jones, and Jim Jones had died years before, or that wasn't Jim Jones at all, and Jim Jones just left and he was still alive somewhere.
Just can't go start another one. He's like, this one sucks. I'm going to go try it again. Yeah. It's fine.
Or, I mean, one that's not super believed, but still kind of falls into this theory. I mean, like a similar idea to, like, body snatchers, like lizard people taking over politically powerful people. Or, I mean, so, I mean, okay. I'm not saying that's one of the huge ones, but I mean...
Could be.
By the time the thing got in Guyana, he could have been a lizard person.
Who?
By then, or like back in the
curveball
like, from when, the start. Like,
I mean,
boom.
He could have changed. Part. Like, well, not maybe not the whole time, but like once they got to Guyana, him being like a completely different person.
Because they chase, big leaders.
I know. Yeah. My thing is like with him being.
Listen to my logic.
Yeah, no, for sure. Whatever. But like my thing is like. For his health to decline and all that, and for things to change, and like his, like the way he talks over whatever it is that's recorded, and just brainwashing.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I just feel like that sounds like meth just catching up to him. That literally sounds like, hey, it's just kind of downhill from now because you can only do so much until you're just, your whole body's drugs like, fucking. And then when you're not trying, when like you can't fulfill that high, like of course you're going to go to food. Like, so that's why he's gaining weight. Yeah. I don't know. That's just what I'm thinking.
Right. Yeah. No. That's the popular belief.
So he's like bland.
And he's just pumped full of drugs.
He's like, yeah.
Hardcore pumped.
Like
full
he's
of
just
drugs.
Trying to talk into this fucking microphone all day. Like, come on. Yeah. He's over it. He's like, this is bullshit. Yeah, I get it. Fuck it. Let's all die. I'm done.
Yeah.
Tired.
He's just tapped out.
Either way, whatever you guys believe, conspiracy theory or not, 918 people died on November 18th, 1978.
You didn't have to tell me the date. Fuck, man.
What's wrong with the date?
Like, what's the, now that date is ruined.
Does it make it real?
Like, yes.
Oh, no, it does?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. If I didn't know the date, it never existed. It wasn't a thing. Then I can just say, this thing happened one time.
Yeah.
And now every November 18th, I'm like, God fucking
damn. That's what's going to get to you every November.
Every November 18th, I will mourn now.
Oh, no.
Okay, so let's take it back. Theory number one.
God damn it.
One thing I will say for the failed MKUltra tests, the year, if you remember, that MKUltra was officially stopped 70s? Was 73.
Yeah.
And that's when the land was bought in Guyana.
Mm.
And the time when about 70% of the MKUltra documents had been burnt and tried to be destroyed was 1977, which is the year they moved to the People's Temple base camp there in Guyana. So there are some slight correlations of like, oh, these things also happened with MKUltra. Maybe that's them.
Can't do it in the States. Yeah. Gotta go outside.
Yeah, go to a smaller group of people.
Our laws don't work there.
See what we can do there.
I feel like that sounds pretty cool.
So that's one thing I will say real quick before I pull out a goat horn. So
is that a sexual thing?
A what?
A goat horn?
Dude, how many times have I goat horned you now? You don't need to bring it up. Just take it.
No.
Are you ready to get
that's what he
go-horned?
Said, too. He's like, shh, okay. My wife knows it's fine.
It's all part of the show.
So does your husband. You're okay. Yikes.
Theory number one. What do you guys think? Yes or no? Yay or nay?
I don't know enough to say. Like, I don't know enough about it. But it is very cohesive. And it is very like, well, this can't happen here in the U.S., Well, it can't happen anywhere else. We can't control that. So, I mean, if it happens to happen somewhere else, I don't know. That's what I think.
And one of the big beliefs about MKUltra is that they didn't stop when they said they stopped. They just went somewhere else.
Correct.
So
you maybe?
She's an... She doesn't know.
I'm not educated. Could be
inconclusive.
Enough. Inconclusive.
What do you think? Because I schooled you on MKUltra, so you should know a little. What do you think?
I don't think so. Just following Jimmy's life.
Jim's?
Yeah, I feel like I know him a little bit better now. I can call him Jimmy. From starting from his life moving on forward, I believe that whole story of him carrying on. So you already know my answers for theory 2 and 3 at this point. But I don't think that somebody else came into him. I think he just had that part about him that everyone liked, and he was convincing. He
took control
and
of that.
He ran with it.
If he really was like super methed out the whole time, I don't feel like the CIA would be okay with that. Like I feel like they would see him as more of a liability at that point because he's so like methed out, or they're like, yeah, I don't know. I don't think that's enough. It's not something that you can do and still be controlled.
Smart.
So I don't think that's
okay. I already know reason.
That's all Jimmy.
Damn it, Jim. So, for theory number 3, I'm not gonna let you guys blow the goat horn on this one. It's not mass suicide. It's mass murder. It's people were murdered.
Yeah.
And the extent of the full-on murdering, maybe we don't know, of like forcing people with injections or shooting people, that's what's up to the debate. But it's no longer debate that people were murdered.
Yeah. And I can't doubt that people were gunned down either.
I feel like it was a complete murder-suicide.
Well, and they were conditioned.
Because it's either like, okay, well, if I just drink this right now or like have this syringe full of liquid or whatever, it's try not to and then get shot anyways. Like, fuck it. Like, I might as well do it on my own recognizance. It's like not...
Yeah.
Sure, there were some people that committed suicide. But anybody who wasn't on board, I believe absolutely. They were murdered.
Yeah.
I would get on board with that.
That's fair to say.
Yeah.
Deal. All right. And then theory number 4... Jim Jones either died before Jonestown, or he never died at all, and maybe, I don't know, went off to Israel or something. Or that he got taken over by a lizard person. I know I can get Regis if I can bring in the lizard people at least once.
That's the thing that gets me here, is I believe that he could be one of the bad lizard people that give lizard people a bad rep, that he's still around.
Oh, fucking he's the one that gives them the people. Bad rep. Okay.
I think Jim Jones lizard.
It must have been him.
I think there's some likable lizard people that could be out there.
Yeah. It's fair.
Okay.
But then there's some of them douchebags, lizard people, that he would be one of them. So I can't doubt that part of it. I don't believe he did like an Elvis thing where he like poof and he like moved somewhere else and now lives on the beach. Yeah.
Hey, you just ruined the whole Elvis episode I had planned.
Yeah, I'm literally like, what do you mean Elvis? I can't wait to Google that when I get home.
Crash Bandicoot. Oh my gosh.
Sorry, microphone. You okay there, big guy?
I thought it could have been a ghost. Because it went forcefully. It wasn't like a tumble.
It was ready to go.
Okay. I'm going to pretend it didn't happen then, because that sounds awful.
Oh, okay.
All right. So, theory number 4, what do you guys think?
I don't know.
What do you think?
Well, I can't doubt it.
All right. Well, I'll leave it as inconclusive.
I feel like he's still kicking. Well, I mean, clearly not now, but like, I think
he made it past Jonestown.
Correct.
I believe more that he did die than he didn't die, but I don't doubt that.
It's a possibility.
There's a chance.
I'm on the same page as you guys.
Either way, man.
It's very possible.
What a fucked up dude.
It's still really fucked up, right?
Yeah, so.
It all started with farm animals. And I can't trust a farmer anymore.
Right? Especially anyone who's friends with animals more than people. Just kidding.
basically.
Just kidding. That's a really bad number.
That's a joke.
No, but it's just crazy to think that Jim Jones just wanted to go down in history as being a legendary man that did good things, and just he wanted this power. But nowadays, most people know about Jonestown because it's connected to, don't drink the Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
That is,
as soon as you start talking about Kool-Aid, I'm like, I know this. It's fine. It's not even Kool-Aid.
And they didn't even drink Kool-Aid. It was Flavor-Aid.
Yeah, if it was Kool-Aid, then Kool-Aid wouldn't be a thing anymore.
So,
fuck me, man.
Thanks for hanging in there, guys. I should probably make a disclaimer for these at the beginning of episodes. Hey, by the way, some shit might be really fucked up. So,
murder, suicide,
you got a queasy tummy.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like fair warning telling people we're going into cults and serial killers anyways, right?
That was enough warning.
I feel like anybody who's upset at this point, this is your fault.
Oh, no.
Fuck. Well, I want to thank our wives, for sure, for letting us do this.
I want to thank Todd's wife, my sister Vanessa, for watching
exactly. Babes. Yeah, and thanks, Lucina, for coming on and being a guest. Mm-hmm. Did you enjoy yourself?
Epic. Good. I can't. I don't know. I don't even understand. I'm about to do so much research. It's insane.
Like, I'm probably going to have to edit out most of everything.
Not even nightmares, just up until 3 a.m. What? What did you say? No, you didn't. Oh, no.
Just kidding. Yes. Also, huge thank you to all of our new patrons. If you haven't already, go check out our Patreon page at patreon.com/scapegoatspod. There you can sign up for any of our tiers that we have. We've got a lot of fun ones set up that have a lot of great rewards. So please go check that out. We'd love the support. But part of becoming a patron is you get to have a shout out on the show.
Hey-o.
So, huge thank you to our baby goats, Jamie Stensrud, Blake Mullis, Jennifer Kitterman, Stephen Roman. Those are our baby goats. Thanks, guys.
Baby goats.
Baby goats. And now to our true goats.
Really quick, though. Is there a name for a baby goat or no?
It's a kid.
What? That's it?
Yeah, baby goats are called kids. So thanks, kids. Nope, sounds too culty.
Not appropriate right now.
Don't call me dad.
Not the right time.
And then our true goats, which is the $5 tier. Thank you to Ruth Fiddler. That's my mom. She's so sweet.
Aww.
And then to our super goats. It's the $10 tier. Ooh. Huge shout out to Aaron Lee and Amy Carbine.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys. Our patrons, our patron goats.
Yay.
We appreciate it. So go check that out. Once again, tell your friends about us. We appreciate that. Come stop by and say hi on our Facebook or Instagram page. Send us a picture of something you think is cool. Let's talk about it. Let's share stories.
Let's meet a goat.
Let's go see a goat.
Let's go see a real goat, guys.
Real goat.
Yes.
Goat.
Done and done. Deal. Well, Regis,
Todd,
till next time.
Don't be a sheep.
Be a goat.